Good morning. Come on, it's better than that. Good morning. There we go. Now, I'm Dan Moose. I work with the North Central. Oh, no. Yes, I do. I still work for the North Central District. Today is the last day. So I got this. Someone sent me a card. It says retired. And underneath it says the adjective re-tired. And then it has the thing, I do what I want to, what I want to. See more. It's not my problem anymore. That's the one I like. So, hey, it's good being with you. We're glad to have all of you here today worshiping with us. Today, you're not going to get a sermon. And thanks to Rachel helping out yesterday, you don't have a two-hour teaching. So, today what we're doing is many of the small groups are starting to work through what are our spiritual gifts. And as we're thinking on spiritual gifts, I want us today to just have a teaching. We're going to cover many different scripture passages on the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is someone that many of us don't know a whole lot about and we wonder about. So when I say the Holy Spirit, how would you define the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Help me. Oh, for you who are near here, when I ask a question, there's many times I want an answer. So who is the Holy Spirit? The helper. God. A person. Come on. Part of the Trinity. Comforter. Helper. He helps us. Pardon? The gifter. I like that. Yes. I'm going to have to speak louder. The age is starting to catch me a little bit. What go? Lover? Good. That's good. Help. I see you got to help these old guys. So, but today we want to look at who is the Holy Spirit and what is he doing in our life? Because without the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life today, you're not a follower of Christ. Is that right? The scriptures make it very clear, if you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at who the Holy Spirit is. Many of you know I enjoy farming. I was raised as a farm kid. I remember when my dad got his first tractor and we thought, wow. And so I learned to work with these little farm tractors, little 35, 45, 50 horsepower farm tractors. And, you know, I enjoy that. So then about 15 years ago, I started working with my dear friend, Christian friend out in Litchfield. And he said, well, first I want you to drive trucks. So I drove truck for him. Well, and he says, we need someone to drive tractor. But they have these big tractors, you know, 185 horsepower, 300 horsepower, 400 horsepower, 600 horsepower. And, I'm a 42 horsepower guy. And I remember one of the first jobs they gave me, I hated because they gave me this tractor and it has a 30-foot roller. Now, do you know how wide 30-foot is? 30-foot goes from that wall probably to where Darius is sitting. I'm pulling this down a field. And I'm supposed to roll a field of soybeans and I'm not supposed to lap over more than this. Come on, folks. What's your mark? And so you're always struggling. You're always struggling with it. And I did it one year, and I did it next year. You know, you just do it because they ask. And the son finally said, hey, Moose, why don't you take the big tractor? I said, well, how's that going to help me? He said, well, you know what? It has GPS in it. I said, but I don't know how to use GPS. He says, you know what, Dan? I'll set it up for you. And all you have to do when you come to the end of the field, you'll see that line and you push that button. And you know how much you overlap? This much. And he said, you can start any place in the field. You could go down the middle and then come back over here. And then, but you'll only overlap this much because the GPS will direct you. There's only one problem. You still have to look out for rocks. Because he said, if you hit a rock going the speed you're supposed to be going, you're going to mess up some equipment. And I go, I think we're going to see that many of us are like me, still driving that old small tractor. And that isn't what God wants for us. Who's our GPS? Holy Spirit. Because He not only directs us, He'll keep us online, He'll change us, He'll correct things. And that's what we want to look at today. So you can follow along in your Bibles. We're going to look at a lot of scripture verses. So let's look at John 16, verse 7. This is Jesus after on the last, well, really, right before His crucifixion. And this is what He says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you." So it's to our benefit that Jesus goes to heaven. Why? So we can receive the Holy Spirit. And He'll give us the Holy Spirit. And again, it's been shared, the Holy Spirit's part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit also is a person. And He's the Spirit of God who lives in us. But many of us will say, so when do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at Ephesians 1. We're going to cover a lot of scriptures today. Ephesians 1, 13 and following. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." Did you see that? So when did you receive the Holy Spirit? Help me. When? Salvation, the point of salvation. At the point of salvation, when we accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit is the one who made new life in us. He applies all the work of Jesus Christ to us. He comes into our life and He transforms us. And He's the one who's doing that work. Did you notice, I love it, saying there, He is the, what? Marks us with a seal. So you're no longer your own. But also, He said He's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Folks, we have something to look forward to. We have an inheritance. Our inheritance is living with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit and all the saints and all the believers throughout what? Eternity. You know the better part? We have the Holy Spirit is in us today, so we're not doing it on our own. We still need to push a button at times to let Him lead us. But we have the Holy Spirit in us today. So, you know, it's said here that really Jesus said it's to your good. So what does the Holy Spirit produce in us? Well, go back to John 16, verse 12 and following. Jesus said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only when what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify Me, Jesus, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belong to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Holy Spirit will receive from Me what He'll make known to you." Wow. I know there's times, a lot of times, as we as Christians are a little concerned about the spiritual stuff because I've been places where the spiritual stuff, they were saying this is the Holy Spirit and it gets a little crazy. In fact, I was in a worship service one time where the chaplain back at our college came in and said, "Hey, whoa, shut her down. This is not of God. You guys are acting like you're doing stuff in the Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit." Did you see what he says there? Look at verse 14. In verse 14, well, the numbers aren't up there. It says, "He will glorify Me because it is from Me that He will receive what He'll make known." Here's the question. You can always check whether it's of God, whether it's of the Holy Spirit, if it does what? Glorifies Jesus. Does it point to Jesus? Does it help us see Jesus? Does it help us live in Jesus and walk in Him? If it doesn't, it's probably by a spirit, and there's two other spirits. Satan, and who's the other? Mine. or yours. And we need to realize that the Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus. But did you see else, what else, why it's a benefit for us? I love this in verse, that verse there said, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will do what? He will guide you into all truth. Guess what, as Christians, we can't say. If we're saying, I don't know, then we're really not trusting the Holy Spirit to work, right? Because we're not in the book and we're not seeking him to fill us and lead us. He is sharing here that he will lead us into truth. And it'll be, I was telling some people before service, I had this thing set up last night, Wednesday, Thursday, I sent it to Rachel, and we had about 120 minutes worth of message here. And God woke me up on Friday morning and said, that ain't going to work. No, Saturday morning, and said, that ain't going to work, Moose. And so I called Rachel, and she bailed you out. She bailed you out. So you can thank her after the service. But again, the Holy Spirit leads us into many times of truth, and he guides us, folks, if we hear him. He guides us to be here. What else does he do? Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, 1, the opening of that passage, it says, to God's elect scattered throughout all the area. Look at verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit to be obedient to Jesus and sprinkled with his blood. Not only does the Holy Spirit guide us into truth, but he sanctifies us. There's two parts of sanctification. The first part of sanctification is that he sets us apart. Did you see back in the verse there in Ephesians, it said we were marked with a seal? Folks, we have a seal on us, if you're a follower of Jesus, that says you're set apart, you're holy, you're not your own. That's part of sanctification. So we need to live a holy life. We are not our own, we're God's. But the other part of sanctification is God transforming us to be holy people also. And that's what the Holy Spirit does a lot of work of. You can look at, go back to John 16, and we're not going to go there today, but it says that one of the first things the Holy Spirit does is he convicts us of our sin. There's a blooming light back there. It's just brighter than bright. Right about there is where I'd like to have it. The Holy Spirit turns that floodlight on in our life so we can see our sin. So we can really see what is wrong. The trouble is, many of us, when we realize our sin, I don't know, I'll just talk about myself, I won't talk about you. When God tells me I have sin, my first thing is to say what? Oh, I'll take care of that. That's not the right answer, folks. The right answer is, yes, God, I repent of it, I confess it, now in the power of your Spirit, give me victory over it. Do you see the difference? The one is, I'm doing it better, but the trouble is, now I'm back driving that little old tractor, right? But when I say, Holy Spirit, God, you work in me, I just push the button for the GPS to take over. And he'll change you in ways that you didn't expect. But it's always for your sake, for God's glory, and the kingdom advancement. And so we need to be willing to let God do his sanctifying work in us. And that's one thing that the Holy Spirit does. So he not only gives us his truth, and he makes us Christ-like, but he also sanctifies us and sets us apart. And finally, and you all, many of you know this passage, he produces the fruit of the Spirit. How many fruit of the Spirit are there? How many? I have two different people. People are saying one and none. One and nine. One and nine. Look at this verse, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, what is that article? I mean that verb? Must be one. The fruit of the Spirit is one, but this is what it is. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, it's kindness, it's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm not sure I like that last one. I'm just being honest. I'm not saying it's not biblical. I'm saying I struggle with it because self-control is it. But did you notice here that Jesus, what God is working in us through the power of the Holy Spirit is he's producing the character of Christ in us. The fruit of the Spirit really is the character of Christ, right? And so often we want to say, well, I want to be that person. Well, let the Spirit transform you, folks. We don't have to work to gain it. We have to yield to gain it. And that yielding isn't just saying, well, I won't do anything. But when the Holy Spirit says, okay, this is what you need to do. Okay, Lord, we're walking ahead. It's we, not me. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. And also, as you notice there in verse, the last part of that, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. See, that's part of that sanctifying, being sanctified, as the Holy Spirit helps us to crucify the flesh. Do you notice? The flesh, those things don't sound like the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those don't sound like the flesh. They sound like Jesus, isn't it? And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. Here's another thing the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you. And I think some of us struggle with this, but Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Do you ever doubt you're saved? How many have doubted they're saved? Come on, let's be honest. How often? You don't have to answer that one. But it's so easy at times. Man, I'm just a failure. I can't do anything right, God. I just, have you felt like that? But when we're really walking in the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. No, Moose, you're forgiven. No, Moose, you're sealed. And that seal is a guarantee. And it says he bears witness with our spirit that we're not only children of God. I love the other one. Did you hear that one? What's the other one? Take it one step to the next one. Co-heirs with who? Say that out loud. Let's all say it. We're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to write that on your mirror in the morning. Because if we start to see who we are, we're going to start living like who we are. It says here that we're co-heirs with Jesus. Wow. And the Spirit wants to make sure we know that. It bears with our spirit so we can confidently live in him. Wow. Do we need the Holy Spirit? Yes. But not only does he produce, giving us assurance of our salvation, but we're going to go a little further in that Romans 8 passage. He also intercedes for us. Romans 8:26. In the same way the Spirit helps our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with God's will. Two parts, two people in the Godhead are interceding for you today. Is that right? You go on in Romans 8, down the end, it says, and Jesus is the right hand of the Father interceding. What's it mean, interceding? That means he's taking our needs before the Father. Have you ever had something happen and you say, man, I didn't even get time to pray for that, but that was God intervening. Why? Well, the Holy Spirit's already interceding for you. Jesus is already praying for you. God's taking care of that. And it says here that the Holy Spirit does what? He prays when we don't know how to pray. He does what? He takes before the Father. Can I tell you how I do this? Because this has always been one that I scratch my head and say, how does that work? Well, this is how I've worked it out in my life. When I come to a place where I'm really struggling, I don't know how to pray, I just go and I say, Holy Spirit, I just don't know what to pray. You say here, you search my heart, you know me. And so I'm just going to trust this to you to take before the Father. And what does he do? Look what it says he does. It says that he knows our mind, and then he intercedes to God's, he intercedes for God's people, what? In accordance with God's will. He knows how to pray right all the time. This is the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter that God wants us to have. Not only does he intercede for us, go back again. You see what he produces in us. He gives us assurance of our salvation. He intercedes for us. But most of you know Romans 1:8. I mean, not Romans, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He also empowers us to be Christ's witnesses and do Christ's ministry. We're not going to take time today to really go into all the gifting. But this is what sets us up. When we come to Christ, Christ told his disciples this, right? This is Jesus' words in Acts 1. This is before he ascends to the Father. He says, okay, guys, I am going to send you the Holy Spirit, and you'll have power to do what? Help me. Be my witnesses. How often have we said, well, I can't witness? Have you ever said that or thought that? Don't raise your hand. It's so easy. Why can't we? Because are we not trusting the work of the Holy Spirit? Do we not trust the Holy Spirit to give us the thoughts or the words to say? I struggle with that. Because there's times afterwards I walk away. And you've all done this, I'm sure. We walk away from a situation and said, wow. I should have said that. They gave me the opening. I'll tell you, one of the ones that rocked my world, I was working in construction. It's about 6:30 at night. I'm tired. I've been working since 6 in the morning. And a guy says to me, so Moose, how do you get saved? I was so tired, I walked away from it. The only beauty of it is God has given me 25 years later, the privilege for us to reconnect. And we're working on it now. Boy, that haunted me for a while. How could you as a preacher, somebody who's been trained, just be so tired and so in your physical flesh that you missed it? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And God's not here to beat us up on that. God's here to tell us that his Spirit will speak to us. He'll give us the words to say. What we need to mostly do is what? What do you need to do? Open your mouth and trust him to speak through you. You guys are trusting God to speak through a moose today, right? Think about it. God will speak through us. But not only will God speak through us as witnesses, but God will also give us the gifting so that we can be a part of the body of Christ. And that's what we're working on in our small groups. You're doing the spiritual giftings. You know, those are gifts for what? For building up the body. They're not for us. They're for building up the body. So, as we look at this, we see what God has given us in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that he might lead us into all truth, he might sanctify us, he might produce a spirit within us, give us assurance of our salvation, and he'll intercede for us and he'll empower us to ministry. So what's your response? How should you respond? Look at Ephesians 5, 15 and following. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be what? Filled with the Spirit. I love the analogy he gives there. I've never been drunk, but I hear to stay drunk, you got to keep drinking. Is that right? If you want a long drunk, you got to keep drinking. I had a friend that we ministered to and came to Christ and really followed Christ with. He said I was on a 51-day binge. So what did he do for the 51st day? And it controlled his life, right? What's he say here? Look at this. Look at it. It says, do not get drunk on wine, but instead be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the verb there is a verb, it's continually filled. So if we want to be full of the Holy Spirit, we need to be inviting the Holy Spirit to have all of our life all the time. We have the Holy Spirit in us, but are we yielding to him? Can you be full of the Holy Spirit? Yes, you can. Are many of us? Probably not. Why? Our sin nature. 5-gallon bucket. If I had a 5-gallon bucket here and had it half full of stones, how much water could I put in it? We couldn't get it clear full, could we? What do we have to do if we want this bucket to be full of water? I have to dump out the stones. Remember back there when he told me I punched a GPS? You got to watch for the stones because they'll wreck the machine. What are the stones in your life that are keeping you from being filled with the Holy Spirit? Pride? I can do it? Independence? Lack of yielding to the Holy, a lack of yielding to Jesus as my leader? Here's one. Spiritual laziness. Not getting in the Word, not knowing the Word. Those are stones that we need to dump out if we're going to say, fill me, Lord. I would really encourage each of you, and it's something I try to work at every day, is to invite the Holy Spirit to fill me and work in my life. Fill me. And see, if he's the Spirit, which he says he is, who will convict us of sin, he'll show us which one of those stones we need to repent of and turn from, right? But then I need to be willing to let him fill me. So how do we respond to him? The first thing is we ask him to fill us anew every day. Secondly, Ephesians 5 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. I like some other translations. Says, one translation says, do not suppress the Holy Spirit. The Phillips translation, which was before most of your time, it said, do not throw a wet blanket on the Holy Spirit. I love that one. Don't throw a wet blanket on the Holy Spirit and just snuff him out. So instead, what are we supposed to do? We're not going to do anything to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. Instead, we're going to be open to the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to turn a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit. We're not going to do things in our own strength. But if the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, we're going to do what? Okay. Don't quench him. When he convicts you of sin, how do we quench him? Go ahead, Rachel. I can see it, but I can't hear you. Keep sinning. Okay, I'll take care of it, God. I can do what I want to do. No, no, no. When he can fix your sin, we need to come to our knees and say, that's me. Lord, remove it. I want to be like Jesus, because that's who the Holy Spirit is trying to produce in me. That's what the Holy Spirit. And then the final one is Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Any of you been a part of marching band? Yep, we have some here. Do you know why I couldn't be a part of a marching band? I can't clap and walk. So there isn't a... Now, you've been in worship service where people clap? I can't be up front. You know why? I can't keep a beat. And if you're following me... And have you ever watched a marching band where someone's out of step? You see them. They stick out, don't they? What's this say? That we need to be able to keep in step. So if we need to keep in step, what do we need to do? We need to hear the voice and the beat that the Holy Spirit's calling us to walk by. Do you know what? It's going to be different for each one of us. Too often we want to do the beat that my wife's running to, or a beat that someone else is. No, 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 no. The Holy Spirit's working in you, and he's doing it at his time in a way that'll glorify him through you. And you have to be yielded to find that beat. Matthew 11 talks about Jesus says, take my yoke upon you because it's easy. You remember the picture of the yoke, the old wooden yoke with the bars underneath? How's that going to be easy? I'll tell you how. When you keep in step with the Spirit. Because when you keep in step with the Spirit, he's carrying part of the weight, right? When you get out of step with the Spirit, if you start dragging back because you're fearful or you're grumpy or you're worrying, what's going to happen? Christ is going to be dragging you. Do you really want that picture? And you wonder why you got the kink in your neck? Because you're worrying. You're not keeping in step. But then there's some of us that have, okay, Jesus, we can tell you how to do it. And you're anxious. You're going to get ahead. And you're going to start dragging Jesus. What? Do you think we're going to get a kink in our neck? Yep. It's important, folks, we learn to keep in step with the Spirit. Here's one of the big keys to keeping in step with the Spirit. You need to be in close relationship with God the Father, so you can hear a still small voice. He doesn't usually say, hut, two, three, four. It's usually, hut, two, three, four. Oh, he might have you on 6-8 time. So you're doing a different beat altogether. But the beauty of it is, God's working in you, and you need to be careful to hear him. And he wants to lead you. As we close, couple of thoughts to ponder. Have you placed your trust in the works of Jesus Christ? If you are not a follower of Jesus today, if you have not personally come to a place where you said, I realized I've sinned, I'm separated from God, and I want to have you, Jesus, to be my Savior, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you if you have not made that decision to place your trust in Christ. That's a personal decision you need to make. And I'd love to share that with anybody. We'd love to talk about that afterwards. There's me and many others here, because once you place your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes in. What Holy Spirit? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same Spirit who really... If you go back to Genesis 1, it talks about the Holy Spirit. What did he do? He brought everything. He took the void and brought everything into being. That is who he is. And where is he living? Help me. In us. who are followers of Christ. You know what that dish did? That takes away all of our excuses, doesn't it? Secondly, what ahas did you get today? What's something that you just heard from these scripture passages that says, wow, I haven't thought about that? In other words, what is God specifically speaking to you? What's a takeaway? The last one, what steps in the power of the Holy Spirit do you need to take to daily and moment by moment keep in step with Him? Did you notice? There's a qualifier in that, right? What steps do you need to take? Well, how? In the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what it's talking about. In other words, how do you need to come and say, okay, I need to push that button so the GPS takes over? Because God wants to work in you. God wants to do such a work in you and through you that He will advance His kingdom. And you will be an active part of that for His glory. Do you agree? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for the time we could share together. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, just for, Lord, You knowing everything we need. We thank You for sending Your Holy Spirit and giving Him to us so that He could apply everything that You have worked out through Jesus for us, our forgiveness, our justification, being made right with You, the working of Your righteousness in us, growing us, transforming us, filling us, producing Your fruit through us. Father, You want to do so much. I don't know about my brothers and sisters here, but many times I'm hesitant to say, okay, whatever. Many times I hang on and say, well, it's all right. I'll drive that old tractor because I feel comfortable there. And Lord, You want to do so much more in us and through us. I pray that we would be yielded to You and let You do Your work. Help us to be quick. Help us to be quick to respond to Your sanctifying work. Give us a trust that You will and are working through us so that we have a confidence that if we open our mouth at that time to be a witness, You will speak through us. And then, Father, help us to draw so near to You that we could really keep in step with Your Spirit each step of the way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.